Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 11, Yad Bharat instructs King Raugana. Text number 11. Dvaya svabhavasya kama kalibi. Ekadasi manaso vikraha. Saharasa sarasa kurisastra. Chetra jano namito nasatasyu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. The physical elements, nature, the original cause, culture, destiny, and the time element are all material causes. Agitated by these material causes, the 11 functions transform into hundreds of functions and then into thousands and then into millions. But all these transformations do not take place automatically by mutual combination. Rather, they are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. One should not think that all these interactions of the physical elements, gross and subtle, that cause the transformation of the mind and consciousness are working independently. They are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Krishna says that the laws is situated in everyone's heart. Savasya cham hiri sanvistu matas mirjanam apahacha. As mentioned herein, Super Soul, Chaitanya, is directing everything. The living entity is also Chaitanya, but the Supreme Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is a witness and order giver. Under His direction, everything takes place. The different inclinations of the living entity are created by His own nature or His expectations, and He is trained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the agency of material nature. The body nature and the physical elements under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They do not function automatically. Nature is neither independent nor automatic. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is behind nature. Maya dakshina prakriti suye svacharanam hitu chena kaunteya jagat vipriyatate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and non-moving beings. By its rule, its manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Bhagavad Gita 9:10. This episode in Srimad Bhagavatam with King Bharat had been started, and Kadamba Kana Maharaj was giving the class, and he was introducing the whole chapter and the whole pastime which is happening here as a pastime which was involved with fall down. So he was giving a whole explanation how fall down happens and how we have to deal with it. And here we see, after the pastime is more or less coming to an end now, we see that the same person who in the beginning had a problem by himself, he was a king and he had renounced everything, and he had gone to the forest and he came to a very high level of devotional service, but somehow or another, by some wrong sentiment, King Bharat saved that deer. He fall in love with that deer. He got attached to that deer, and he took the body of a deer, and very interesting, even in the body of the deer, he actually performed devotional service. This is a very rare examples are there where animals perform devotional service. He kept at a holy place. He was fasting. He was only eating some particular dry leaves. So in consequence, when he gave up his body, he again got another human body. And in this body, as Yada Bharat, kind of not conscious, little mad Bharat, he was born in a Brahmin family, and he was actually not, this is coming out here, at all in any way unconscious or less conscious. He had decided, in order to not again get himself in trouble, to show everyone externally that he's not totally up to normal consciousness. But here we see, after he was meeting that king, I think one of his carriers of his, carriage, had been fallen away by disease or something, and Jad Bharat was just there, and he was looking, he had a very stout and strong body, so the king said, you have to walk here. So in the beginning he was trying to, he wasn't really into that whole thing, so he was not really corresponding with the other carrier, so the king got angry, he insulted him, and as a cause of that insult, now we are in that situation, where the same King Bharat, who had been fallen down himself, is instructing the king in the science of self-realization. So it is very instructive in many ways if you see that previously the same person who had a problem is now helping others to overcome their problems. So even one little lesson, so even we sometimes facing troubles, Krishna puts us in these troubles that we are learn something, and after we do this experience, we can share that with others. So yesterday we had a very nice lecture. We got also a lot of knowledge in medical science, in case just... So I was some things yesterday while I was hearing the lecture. It was the last slokas actually are going about that. Previously in the third canto, this Shankhya philosophy was explained, and also the different levels of material elements had been explained. But here in the last slokas, again and again, the point of false ego is coming up. And I was yesterday thinking that actually the whole process, the king, Raghunandan, is hearing here from Jada Bharat, is the process which we are always saying of self-realization. What is actually, who is actually the owner, who is there actually? So I was thinking, if a false ego is mentioned, I remember one time I had a discussion with my Guru Maharaj, and we were speaking about what to do and not to do, and he made a very interesting point. Yes, that false ego... is a problem. But that doesn't mean we should give up ego. We should not give up ego. That is a very big step, because there is a real ego. That real ego is self-realization, who we actually are. And then we have to see, when we look at Krishna, Krishna is not in need, or the spiritual living entities are not in need of self-realization, because their body is corresponding with their soul. They are what they are. There is no difference. Whereas in our situation, we're having, due to our consciousness, we're having a particular form, which is not our real form, which is not our actual identity, as Krishna is explaining in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, is that in the body there's a soul and it cannot be cut, or the soul is like the driver within this machine. So we are not what we are seeing here, or even what we're feeling, what we are right now conscious of. We're actually something else. So the Mayavadis, they don't have that. Yesterday that point was made, that in different other processes of self-realization, the actual knowledge of the real ego is not given. And this is the actual missing point. And the Mayavadis, for example, they're thinking that everything is false. As we're also seeing, this is very temporary. We are not the body. So we could think the body or this material energy is false. And they have a very popular example. It's at night time, you know, if particularly on boats, they're putting this ropes in some kind of a circle. And night time, when you walk by and you see that rope or piece of old rope, you're thinking that it's a snake. And so they give the example. So we are thinking this material world is real, but it is actually not. It is an illusion. But then the Vaishnavas, they have a very good idea. In order to think that the robe is a snake, we first of all must have seen a real snake. So the real snake must be existing. So the false ego is definitely not the real identification, but there must be a real identification. That is a very big difference which we're having. And we have to understand that this living entity, the soul inside, is actually having a real position. It has a particular service in some particular lila of the Lord, in some particular spiritual place of the spiritual world. Everyone is having a fixed place in a fixed lila of the Lord, and in a fixed ras, in a very fixed position, which is being given. And somehow or another, we have to reconnect to that position. So self-realization is a very important process. And also, hearing yesterday about humility, recently in Vrindavan in a class, somebody gave a very nice example. I think it was a head pujari. He was saying that that prema bhakti is equivalent to absolute humility. So I thought this was a very nice. Yesterday he was explaining that the persons who were actually serving was more happy than the persons actually were receiving the service. So we, as being the original servant, the jiva is subordinate to the Lord, and the only actual happiness of the jiva is to serve the Lord. So, and he was giving that example that in order to render service, we have to see ourselves lower than others. If we want to be the master, then service would be very difficult. So he gives the example that prema bhakti, the ultimate stage of devotional service, is equivalent to absolute humility. So I was thinking about this false ego, because now it is transforming here. He's giving now different explanations about the material causes. He is speaking here about the physical elements, what we heard in the slokas before. He was giving an analysis about the actual elements of material nature. And then he's saying nature. And that is very common. The scientists, they would say that the physical elements are the cause of all causes. They're having that consciousness that everything is happened by an, how you call that, by chance. By chance, material elements combinating each other and creating this whole manifestation of this material world. And then people, I don't know how it is in India, maybe most probably the people who are worshipping Durga or some natural tribes, and also some people in the West, they're thinking that nature itself is conscious, that this whole material world itself has some kind of an inner conscious, and due to that conscious, everything is manifesting and running. And then, here this was stuck in me this morning, Srila Prabhupada says, the original cause. That was a little bit bewildering, because we were thinking the original cause, if you're thinking ahead of Brahma Samhita, the cause of all causes is Krishna. But here the original cause, if he's looking back in the Sanskrit, it says Svabhava. That means the original cause of being in the material existence, and the original cause of being in the material existence is that consciousness of enjoying independent from the Lord. This is the Svabhava of the Nitya Bhada, the situated, the ever-conditioned living entities. This Svabhava is to lord over the material nature. This is, I think, given as the original cause. Culture is given, for example, very... in India, it is not so much. If you go to South India, there is a lot of idea of culture. Or in many foreign countries, people are very much conscious about their culture, and they're thinking that that their culture is the most important thing, and that their consciousness is arising from their culture. But it is given in another place in the Bhagavatam that... living entities who have performed very much pious deeds, they get born into families where the culture is devotional service. So in that sense, culture can have a very important status in life. If you see, if you would take birth in a South Indian Brahmana family, even maybe they're not that much really interested in self-realization, just by their culture, they're worshipping Lord Vishnu, and they're performing all sorts of artis, and they're following a lot of rules and regulations, which are actually favorable for sense gratification. And then it says here, destiny and the time element are all material causes. So Kamakanda kind of a people, they would think, they're looking like it's a Yotish Shastra, and they will think that because the living entity is born at this particular time, that's why he has to convey with this particular events which are happening in this living entity's life. And they're thinking that this Yotish is relating to the living entity which have taken birth. They're not seeing the difference that inside this living entity there is a soul which has actually nothing to do with this destiny. And it is always very interesting that Srila Prabhupada is always very much saying that if we actually engage in devotional service, actually in actual devotional service, in higher levels of devotional service, then this particular destiny can be actually changed. Krishna can change that destiny if it is unfavorable for devotional service. But I do think my personal experience this comes only on higher levels of devotional service. Usually Krishna is Trikala Gyan, so he's putting the living entity at the right time, so it gets the right chain of actions. And this chain of actions Krishna is using to purify the living entity. But then when we're really surrendering to Krishna, then Krishna can take that all away. And I think, where was it? At Radha Dish, one of the lecturers was saying that if we're actually leaving this material consciousness, if we're actually entering into spiritual consciousness, and we're actually just meditating of the pastimes of Krishna, then we're actually not anymore here. We're not here. If our consciousness is going to the spiritual world, we are actually not here anymore. And Krishna can just use our body for Srila Prabhupada's movement or for the preaching activities, because anyhow it is Krishna who's taking care of the body. And so if we are just sending our consciousness to the spiritual world, then we are not here actually anymore. And that means we have no more destiny in itself. The destiny which will be take place is that Krishna is taking over the body and is using him for spiritual activity. So, that is naturally not necessarily our platform these days. We have to see that as a goal to move ahead, to actually absorb ourselves in Krishna's Leela. So, and the time element is also given here. Time is a very interesting thing, because it is different in many different planets, there are different degrees of time, and it appears that even in the spiritual world there is time. At different times of the day, Krishna is performing in different activities. So there is a kind of sections are there, and we do think that time is existing there, but it is not actually true. The time here in this material world is a very cruel energy of the Lord, because it is a time who makes us old. It is a time who forces us to leave our body, and it's a time who is forcing us to take up another body. It is a time who is bringing this world to annihilation. And so it is not like that in the spiritual world. Time is just there again newer and newer lilas are taking place. It's a very different kind of idea of time. It is not really present there actually. So this physical elements are given here, and as we heard before, when they're mixing up now, they're mixing with each other, then they're multiplying. You know, 11 by 11 is, 110, and then thousands, and then it comes to millions. And we can see, if we are looking around, we can travel a lot, we will never find two human beings who are looking the same. And even if you're looking at the animals, even we first look at a herd of cows, if you're not common with cows. I know when people used to come on Pariyatra, In the beginning, sometimes even 1 month, they would just say the bulls. They wouldn't see. Even they're still totally different in color, in horn, in shape, in character, because for them they just look like bulls. And then after some time you find out that even the animals are totally different in consciousness and also in look. And if you see thousands of cows, even they look very similar, they're all different. So we can see that this mix of material elements around the living entity is creating only hundreds and then thousands and then millions of different varieties of consciousness. Even there are only 8,400,000 species of consciousness. Again, there are under sections in each of them which is creating so many different little varieties of sets of mind, intelligence, and senses. So this is now given here, and this is not taking place automatically. It's not happened by chance. This is very clearly defeated in this sloka. These scientists, people these days, they have the idea, but it is defeated by itself. They had the idea that things are happening by chance. But it is not the case. And Srimad Bhagavatam here, Jada Bharat is very clearly making it clear. They are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is nothing else. He is the original cause. And he is inside this material world as the Paramatma feature. It is given that he is in everybody's heart. This word Chetragnya is used here. So Chetragnya, the living entity is also Chetragnya. So we know who are we. We know our, at least for this lifetime, we have an idea where we took birth. Again, before we were giving different culture, whatever. But the Lord, this is incredible and ununderstandable, is knowing everyone's consciousness in the past, in the present, and in the future. Plus, the Lord knows everyone of us in our real feature. The real self of us is known to the Lord. So this is very interesting how the Lord can have such a knowledge and such an amount of relationships. How many relationships we can, deeper relationships we can have. The Lord is spending all this time. Now, as devotees, we're thinking, okay, this is not so bad. You know, we're sitting here in the temple and we're taking prasadam. But the Lord is also outside with the people who are drinking, who are taking drug addicts, who are injecting drugs in themselves. He's with people who are killing cows. He's with all the people with inside their heart. And permitting them even to do that. He's permitting them to do that. It's not only he's watching these horrible activities. As giving independence, as he being independent, he gives that independence to the living entities, and he's permitting them to do all these activities. He's witnessing and he's sanctioning. He's the Chetragnya of all, and he's even, we see this picture is there, on the, I think, science of self-realization. It shows an atom and the Paramatma inside. He is going as far as being in each and every atom. And still, at the end, even he's witnessing, he's sanctioning, he is still totally independent of this material creation. We see he's putting different levels of himself. He's coming as Mahavishnu. He's coming as in each and every universe, and again he's coming at the end as Paramatma feature, Chiradakshaya Vishnu. He's expanding himself, but he's not lessering himself. That is also what the Mayavadis cannot understand. They think if I take away from here and put something there, then something less is there, but it is not like that. Srila Prabhupada is giving that simple example of a person who's having a big enterprise. He's opening many branches, may all over the world, but still they're all functioning under him and they're functioning in his interest, but still it's not that the man personally, physically has to go there. So the Lord is very amazing in this kind of situation. And still, many times then, when very bad thing is happening. Recently, this big wave was coming. I just read in Back to Godhead, I think in the Dhruma Swami, somebody went there. The living entity will think, where is God? Why God has permitted such a bad thing to do? Or, you know, that Maharaj sometimes mentions this. Why bad things happening to good people? It's a whole thing about that. It is at the end, it is the living entity himself who is covered by the false ego, who is creating his own situation, his own. Srila Prabhupada is giving that very clearly in the purport. It is our own expectations. It is our own wishes which bring us in the situation we are in. But then Srila Prabhupada is saying a very interesting sloka here, and he is saying that sometimes he's just turning. He's saying it is the Lord who's training the living entity. So the whole purpose behind this suffering, the whole purpose behind giving us that independence is that after a very long time of exhibiting our independence, we do come eventually to the training effect that we are realizing that actually I'm not actually meant to be independent. I'm not actually independent, and actually to be independent is the root cause of my suffering. So there's a lot he's giving, he's tolerating us for so long, and he's waiting until finally we come to that point of view where we're realizing that we have done a big mistake, and then we are getting interested in learning. So it is amazing if you see how this is actually functioning, how the Lord is having this chaturagya. If you look like a little bit down, the other day I was watching one movie about this how this DNA and this, how is it called that? What is there in this chromosomes are there inside that chromosomes are the DNA. And then on the other hand, we see the Bhagavatam is giving that example that the consciousness in the father is bringing about a particular soul to enter in a particular family. And then we see how intricate the Lord is actually supervising the whole thing, because we see that I'm a father, I have two different children and they're totally different. So we could think that the same mother and the same father with the same consciousness would bring about the same type of children, but that is not the case. That is not the case. And we see that each and every children, even we see, Jananivas and Pankajangri, who are actually coming from the same cell, from the same set of chromosomes, have the same set of chromosomes, still due to a different jiva being inside their bodies, having a different type of consciousness. How intricate the Lord is actually having created this material energy. It is unimaginable for the common set of mind and senses. So we are creating our desires, and the Lord is placing us exactly in the right family, in the right body. It's again, if you see that it says that the consciousness at the time when we're leaving our body is creating our next body. But the body is actually not created. The soul is traveling with the false ego and with the intelligence and with the mind to the new body. But the body is not created according to that set. The body is again created from the living entity, from the material energy where the living entity enters. But again, that body is exactly befitting to the consciousness which is coming with the soul which is entering. So if he's speaking about Chetragyan, it's like amazing how the Lord is have set up that whole program. And it is very, very ridiculous that some people are saying that this is happening by chance. This is only devotees who are actually really been able, even we cannot understand, because even the scientists, they have created so many things. Just Srila Prabhupada was always challenging, then you create one egg Or you just create one fly, just one tiny little fly. You have so many machineries. And that time, the scientists were still very primitive compared to what they are now. These days, they're taking out, they're opening the cells, and they're opening the nucleus with some chemical solutions. They break up the membrane of the nucleus, and they take out the separate chromosomes. And then they have a machine which can read the different amino acids, which give four are there, which give different combinations, which make up that long molecule, which is storing all the information which is used to create this body. So they have a machine which can read that, but they can't understand. After long research, they have a little idea that this sequence is maybe for creating eyes or for legs or this or that, but they can't. Even one of these things, they cannot reproduce. What to speak about a complex living entity like a fly? Even one of them, they cannot reproduce. And then still they are somehow or another trying to defeat this. I think first it was Darwin's theory. Then that didn't work anymore. They called that Neo-Darwin's theory. And I forgot the name of the man. There was one man who had actually brought up this theory, how original soup, different items came together and made up certain molecules, and out of this they were reproducing. And this man himself later on figured out that was total nonsense. My theory was nonsense. This is totally impossible. But still, other people still believing in that. They're still using that because it's difficult for the scientists these days. Even they're realizing that all the ideas are not really working out. They cannot step back now because they don't have any actual explanation. Whereas here we see one simple sloka in the Bhagavatam is giving a very clear definition that all these elements are there. They are a manifestation of the Supreme Personality of the Lord, and the Lord is entered into that, and he's directing in his agency, in his extension, he's directing this material energy. So for devotees, it is rather easy to understand, whereas the scientists still have a long way to go. So we have to see that some devotees are doing this scientific preaching, and let's hope that one day, Srila Prabhupada was very much hoping about that. He was very much hoping that one day he calls them munis, you know. Previously there were munis, they were creating some kind of a philosophy, and another muni would come, and he'd come with a new philosophy, and that philosophy has to defeat another philosophy. It doesn't really have to have substance, but it has to sound so nice that he's defeating another philosophy such an intelligent way that nobody can defeat it. So he's bringing up, so the same thing, the scientists these days, they're bringing out a philosophy, and this is then called a theory, which is really crazy that everyone is thinking this has some substance. And they're calling that I just was in the West for some time, for 6 weeks. Here in India, we're at least somewhat recognized. Actually, if you be a, you walk in Dhoti Kirta, they maybe joke about you, but they're still thinking this person is performing some religious activities. He's somewhat situated. Whereas in the West, people thinking we're totally nuts. They're totally nuts because we're questioning the truth of scientific knowledge. And because they're thinking that is true what these people, but if you're actually looking, the whole thing is a theory. What is that? Einstein is giving a theory, and there's a theory of quantum mechanics, and there's a theory of Charles Darwin, and there's this theory and that theory. It's just a theory. What is a theory? If you're further taking it down, a theory is what? It's a belief that somebody is having a good idea, and many other people thinking that it's a good idea, and then they're coming to the conclusion that how it could have been. There is no actual experimental real proof. There may be some experiments which move in the direction that could have been true, but if it would have been true, it would have been a law of nature. Before we were founding that late nature is there of one of the elements of this material nature, and the nature is having many very stringent laws. So if it would be a law of nature, it could have been proved. But because it cannot be proved, they're saying that this is a theory, and at the end, the theory is nothing than a belief. But on the other hand, that they're saying that you people are believing in these books which are have no actual evidence, and this is a belief. You're believing something, and basically these days to believe in something is something very bad, because they don't have trust. They have lost the trust. That's the scripture, which is there in most of the culture. Scripture is there, and that the scripture is actually giving the absolute truth, and that the scripture is actually coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, as devotees, we're very fortunate that we are having that understanding that the scripture is giving everything, and we don't need actually to further do any research. It is already given. We don't need to waste our time and money with researching something. We can just read the scripture, and even if we don't understand it, since we're not, at least for myself, we're not that much intelligent, then Srila Prabhupada is giving a very simple purport, which makes it understand that that we are servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is directing material nature. And if we surrender to the owner of the material nature, then we can actually progress in what everyone is. Everyone is looking for happiness, so we can become happy. We can actually become self-realized. I started the lecture with self-realization, and then we're coming closer and closer in that process of self-realization. We're coming closer and closer to actual service of the soul to the absolute soul, to the Lord. In that, in our case, we want to serve Krishna directly. We want to, or the servants of the servants. Sorry, we want to serve towards the Lord Krishna. We want to engage in our real activity. We want to engage our soul in its real svabhava, not in that svabhava of lording over the material energy. So here, Jada Bharat is giving a very wonderful explanation to the king, and the king at the end, he's actually very much amazed that and he's feeling very sorry that he has used Jada Bharat to carry him, and he's feeling very sorry that he also offended and chastised him, because we see here that the words which are coming from Jada Bharat are that of a 100% self realized person. So we have to take a lot of lessons. We can see that even sometimes we have difficulties in our spiritual life, and we fall in situations which are maybe not that favorable for the development of spiritual life. We see Jada Bharat took the birth of a deer, very unfavorable actually, you know. But we see ourselves sometimes, particularly if we get married or something, we do a job, we drop in some circumstances which are not necessarily favorable for devotional service. We have to have that same determination that King Bharat was having in the form of the deer to continue. To just continue. He continued in the body of the deer. He was remembering what he had done, and that was a mistake. So we should always remember, and we should, whatever may happen, continue. And we see, we should not make a, how you call that, we should not look for opulence. This is basically what Jada Bharat is also teaching us by remaining in that dumb and dull position. He's not showing anyone that he has knowledge. He don't want to show any opulence in any way. He's keeping himself in a very, very humble position because he's afraid that he's entangling himself again, because that is happening. Once we are showing some material qualification, I don't want to disencourage anyone to take up some service in the temple, but I've just been almost 10 years, I've been more or less a temple president, and at one point I wonder, in the beginning maybe I was interested in it, but over the years you're seeing that if you're showing too much material qualification, then you get so much service, and then you identify yourself as that service, and then the original course of being the servant and being very, very humble can be very quickly taken away. So here Jada Bharat is giving that example to better don't show too much material qualification, just remain simple and humble, and nobody will bother you. So it's a very interesting interesting example. And maybe for the temple management, they don't like to hear such a thing. They want that everyone is becoming very qualified. But actually, that is, if you want to remain a simple and humble brahmachari, it better be don't be too much intelligent. We just use our intelligence for waking up and chanting Hare Krishna and doing some humble and menial service, so we don't entangle ourselves again too much within this material energy. It can happen, you know. You see many times devotees, I personally have very good experience. After too much entangling myself, I was thinking, now this is too much. I need some break now, so maybe I get married, I can be peaceful. But that is definitely not the case, because then so many new entanglements are coming. And so we have to be very careful, keep simple and humble. Not maybe to the degree of Jad Bharat, but to some degree we should be careful that we're not showing up with our material qualification. Basically, we should not show up our material qualification. So I will stop there. Thank you for giving me a chance to speak. And it was a little late notice. I try to give some kind of an idea. Is there any comment or is there any question? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for a wonderful class. We mentioned that there are different levels of devotional service. You just mentioned. Can you just explain a little more on that?
Well, this I'm not that scholarly. What is that first one? I think Shraddha. It starts with faith. Huh? So we're having a. I'm sure many of you could give a whole seminar on that. It starts with faith. This is that's a main starter. Let's say you do a college program. You find many intelligent boys. They're all intelligent. They're all doing college, or maybe they're on the university. They all have a certain amount of intelligence that they can line up so many different fields of knowledge. But very few are only going to respond from the very beginning to our program. So what is the difference? They're two intelligent persons. So one person is totally uninterested. The other person is a little interested. So because he has faith that there is existing something, which a reality which he right now doesn't have access to. He's believing that there is something in the Bhagavad Gita, that God is there. Even he can't, in his present stage, have any real idea. So the beginning, this is a start, actually. And that comes from, I think, from previous lifetimes. We're bringing some sort of, I think we bring that with us. So that's the first level, that you believe that something you can't really grasp right now on the material platform. You believe. And then I think the next one is Sadhu Sangha. Then by that, Krishna is within the heart. This is very important in that beginning stages. Krishna is within the heart. Everyone remembers when we first time came in contact with devotees. Everyone has his own very individual story. How Krishna arranged that first time where we kind of broke out of material energy and we came in contact with that spiritual type of energy. The Krishna is in the heart guiding, because that face is there, you know. We come in contact with the devotees, they tell us something. And then we can we think, yes, this sounds good, huh? Even from our material education, that doesn't make any sense. I remember when I came in contact, then naturally I started to preach to all my friends, and it was like very difficult. I thought, yeah, that's it, and they just couldn't grasp it. So then, because Krishna knows, we have that faith, we come in contact with a sadhu. The sadhu is somebody who is like really, how you say, it says in Bhagavad Gita, I think the spiritual master has seen the truth. And because he has seen it, he can reveal it to you. So we come in contact with the sadhu and we feel that this person is actually situated in the truth. And we do get a further interest. Our faith gets strengthened that, yes, it is possible. There is a person who's actually seen it. And I also want to see it. So then comes the next level. You know, we get Sadhu Sangha. and then comes bhajana kriyas. And this, because our face is strengthening, and because basically, technically what's happening, if you really come in contact with a pure devotee, he's putting that seed of devotional service in our heart. Maybe we even do the commitment. Then comes bhajana kriya. We do the commitment. I think that's taking initiation. I think at that point we do a commitment. We take initiation. And that is further strengthening our faith. And I need help. Next is anatta nivritti. By following this process, we come to the point of finding our anattas. Then we're rooting out our anattas. And then we come to anatta nivritti. This is for devotees always dream about, you know, that one day, you know, I'm just peaceful, you know. You know what I mean? You know, no more unwanted desires, you know, just focusing on reading and chanting and doing devotional service, you know. If the opposite sex shows up, you don't feel anything, you just think, oh, another living entity, like that, you know, anatta nivritti, it's finished, you know. To that degree. What is then bhajana kriya? Nishta. Then next is in anatta nivritti, still there could be some little forward and backward. Whereas nista, I think total firmly fixed, isn't it? Firmly fixed. You're like totally fixed up. There's no more looking for anything else. No more. You just want devotional service and you want to enter. Then next, ruchi. Then ruchi. Out of this total fixedness on only doing that, not looking for any material elements, then taste is coming. Actual taste. Also, we are looking for that. And the first, we're looking for that peace. When we reach that peace, it is very interesting. When we come to levels of anatta nivritti, it is not just step by step. It is interacting, you know. It's dynamic. It's not like, you know, tomorrow I'm in the next level. This overlapping, I think it would say overlapping. The overlapping. Anatta nivritti is maybe giving you some kind of a peacefulness, but there is some. Many devotees you see come to that level, even sometimes leave devotional service because they feel something like a boringness. There comes no... You understand? It's going on years and years and years and years. They're not totally convinced what they're actually doing. Even they may be, even brahmacharis, and they're peaceful and they're situated. And so the next step, nista, is that we're totally fixed in that, and then ruchi, finally the taste is coming. That's a big difference, you know, from sadhana bhakti. I think at that point also some kind of a raganuga bhakti is starting. Is you're not performing the sadhana because you have to perform the sadhana. You're doing the sadhana because it gives you pleasure. I saw a little sign was there outside in the Brahmachari ashram. It says that even it is very hot and uncomfortable in the temple room. There must have been some law that devotees are allowed to walk up and down the balcony. And it had been seen that after walking up and down the balcony, they were also going down into the corridors. And as a natural event of meeting in the corridors, they're also starting talking most properly prajalpa, and the whole mood of... It's a very important point. I really liked that. Because you people have one set up here. For me, when I was a temple president... I never had to throw anyone out. I just make everyone sitting in japa period. So unwanted elements will just go. So it's like that. No, so we see, if we actually have taste, then we don't need to make such a rule, because everyone will be very happy and sitting together and sitting in front of Srila Prabhupada and near to the deity. So actual taste, we feel real pleasure in performing our devotional activities. Then... Asakti. And then I took that seminar, and I think we stopped at Asakti. I can't. Asakti means attachment. Okay. We actually, I have no real, so much deep experience. This may maybe totally not my platform. Then we actually start thinking about the Lord. We actually start thinking, and we start seeing ourselves as a particular servant. We're moving in that direction where we actually going in our real identity, that is something. And then comes bhava, and finally prema bhakti. That is very high levels of devotional service. King Bharat was up to the platform of Bhava. You see? Even it's very interesting example in that case. You know, we are thinking we have done it. On Anatta Nivritti, that's done. And then we're coming to Nista. We're really firm, fixed. 15 years, we've done it, you know. But still, you see, he came to the point where he was really already absorbing himself in devotional service to the Lord. And still, due to the deer, he temporarily dropped down. And then finally, Prema Bhakti. I mentioned today one time Prema Bhakti is like absolute humility. You're totally the servant of the Lord and you're servant of everyone. So this is a very high level of devotional service. I don't know. Most probably the Maharaj is on that, but everyone else is trying to come up at some certain level. You know? That's what you wanted to know? I'm sure this Prabhu sometimes gives... You give seminar on that sometimes? I'm sure if you're really interested, you sit down with... Yeah, so you sit down with this Prabhu, they will give you very clearly an explanation. This is a technical setup. It is very interesting. So, again, as we see before, this time is running out. The scientists, they're having some kind of a science. Devotional service is a science. It's very important to understand that the same emotions which are happening to you, which when you're performing a devotional service, is also going to happen to him or to him, to everyone. Everyone is somewhat different. Everyone is somewhat different. By nature, we are different, isn't it? Everyone is giving a different pleasure to the Lord. Even on the ultimate platform, the pleasure you are giving to the Lord, I could not give, or opposite, vice versa. Everyone is individual, but the process of reawakening this original consciousness is very scientific. And everyone will have to go to these different layers, in order to establish his real relationship with the Lord. It's something a little bit more deep, and can't really say. But everyone makes this experience. You will make it. How long you're around? 6 years. So slowly, maybe you're already in Bhajana Kriya. Yes. Some anatta nivritti already. You left some anattas behind. Indian garlic tea, coffee. Like that, we leave some anattas behind, and I guess some maybe nista, some you're already somewhat fixed, isn't it? If your friend is coming in and try to make you drink a tea, you will definitely say no. Oh, like that, he's already giving taste to others. So like that, everyone is there. I think I should stop there. Everyone will wait for breaks. Yeah. Any other question? No? Yes?
Hare Krishna. You mentioned about hiding one's opulence. At the same time, we are required to do our best for the pleasure of the Lord and devotees. So, you know...
I did always point this material qualifications. Yeah, it is. Let the other devotees find it out. Let the other devotees find it out if there is some qualification. Then slowly by slowly they will pull it out instead of we are showing it. Maybe, you know, it's a kind of a humility. And as I said, it is. We all have a material qualification, and it would be our duty to use that particular material setup we have 100% in the service of the Lord. That would be perfection, isn't it? That would be the perfection. But as we see, we have seen many devotees, as Jad Bharat, you see, he's giving a perfect example. We have to be very careful, because when we come into devotional service, it is very difficult for us to really discriminate. Once we start using our material ability in Krishna's service, is it really Krishna's service, or are we still finding some pleasure in that activity ourselves? So it is the borderline. What does Srila Prabhupada say? It's like walking on a razor's edge. it is very difficult to, you know, are we really doing it for Krishna or for ourselves? There's that example in the beginning of devotional service in Nasik, I think, who was there? Jananivas or Panchajanji? Pankajanji was there. He gave a nice example. And he gives that example that we are installing Krishna in the house here. So if we are in the temple, then we have to follow Krishna's timetable. But now if Krishna comes in your house, then Krishna is waking up when you're waking up. He's getting something to eat when you're going to eat, like that. So in the beginning of devotional service, let's say we come in contact with Krishna consciousness, we like to eat pizza. So what we will do, we will make a pizza and we offer it to the Lord. And we're thinking we have performed a very nice devotional service because really we made that pizza with love and devotion. You know, we really made it only for the Lord. But then afterwards, we definitely also relish to eat that very pizza. So whereas actually, if we're going in further levels of devotional service, we find out there is a particular time and a particular diet the Lord is like to have. You know, he likes a Rajboga at this time and he likes a Balbog at this time and there's a certain preparations. So when we come in Krishna consciousness, it is somewhat dangerous. It is somewhat dangerous to use our material qualifications because it may would lead that we enjoy doing that activity. And because we're expert in that activity, we may develop an attitude that we're thinking that we're better in our performance of devotional service due to that quality than maybe other devotees who are not. So Jad Bharat is showing that example here that by being totally humble and not showing that qualification, he's actually going ahead very well. Whereas from external point of view, you know, I think it was him. People were urinating on him. Was it? Oh, sorry, Rishabdev. Okay, Jad Bharat. But he was put into field work, isn't it? And they given him old and broken rice and he didn't complain. Whatever left over, they just... given on him, and see, even here the king put him in carrying that thing, he didn't really object. So he's afraid of that particular thing. That was a point I was trying to make. Naturally, we need temple president, we need computer operators, we need some people who are expert in the sound system, we need very qualified pujaris. So every different things we need devotees use 100% the material qualification. But maybe we wait until other devotees and come forward and think, how are you? Maybe you could a little bit try that and maybe like that. And definitely this is a perfection, isn't it? To use whatever we have in Krishna's service, yukta viragya, even to the point of using our material abilities 100%. But still, he's giving that example. Be careful. Better wait for some time. Until we're ready to. Does that answer your question? Jai. Gantiraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.